Matthew chapter 5. The Beatitude under our consideration tonight is found there in verse 8. It is the sixth of the Beatitudes. Verse 8 reads, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." As I mentioned this morning, I want to deal with the adorning jewel of purity. May we be numbered amongst those whose lives and characters are adorned with that beautiful jewel of purity. In this, the sixth beatitude, the Savior calls for purity of heart. And to those who are adorned with this jewel, He promises a glorious and beautiful vision of Himself, saying, "They shall see God." The Lord, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, expects His people to be pure also, indeed to be like their Savior, who is holy, who is harmless, who is undefiled and separate from sinners. Indeed, the Lord Himself said in Matthew 10 and verse 25, "It is enough for the disciple to be as his master." It is enough, the Lord said. If you strive to be like your master, if you strive to be like me, the Lord says, that is enough. I will be happy. I will be pleased with that. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master. Christ is our master. He also left his people with a word of exhortation, saying, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter 5, 16. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, rather. And everything about our Savior is all holiness and all purity. As we have noted, He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Habakkuk 1:13. And David has said in Psalm 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." So we're beginning to see, and the Word of God is painting for us a picture of the Savior. And everywhere you look, you see holiness and purity. Indeed, Malachi, Prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verse 3, tells us that He is the purifier. He is the one who purifies His people. So the Lord has set the standard that we are to aspire to. We are to be like the Master. We can be like the Master in various ways, in various aspects of His life and His character. But here is a likeness to Christ that must be seen in every Christian, in every child of God: purity of heart, holiness of life. Purity of heart is something that I feel is overlooked today, not dealt with very much. Because the general trend is that you can be saved and have the world at the same time. No, you can't. When the Lord saves us, He saves us from sin. We don't go back into sin. You cannot have the Lord and your sin. You cannot have the Lord and the world. It must be the Lord and the Lord alone. We're separated unto Him. He calls for us to live a holy life and to be pure in heart. And He says, blessed, I will bless the pure in heart. And that infers that there's no blessing for those who are not pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want us to consider then, first of all, in relation to this verse and this beatitude, the heart of the child of God. The Lord deals with the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. That's what the Savior looks for in His people. Purity of heart. We know that individuals can put on a show. They can use the language. They know how to speak the language. They can pretend to their fellow man that they're Christians. But the Lord looks not on the outward appearance. The Lord looks where? On the heart. He looks on what is inside. Not so much what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. He looks on the heart. And the Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart. The child of God is to have purity of heart. What did Paul say to Timothy about the matter of purity? 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Be thou an example of the believer, or of the believers, in word. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example of the believer in purity. Does that not show us that Paul is emphasizing that the believer is to be pure in heart? Be an example of the believer. It is expected that the child of God be pure in heart. But the question may be asked, how may we attain to this purity of heart? After all, we are told, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the heart of the natural man is like. The Lord Jesus Himself spoke about man's heart. And He ought to know. Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. The Lord Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. The Lord mentioned seven things that proceed out of the heart of the natural man. That shows us that his sin, his iniquity, his wickedness, his vileness is complete. Seven being the number of completeness. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. So let us consider then the making of a pure heart. If this is the, as it were, the material the Lord has to work with, how then can man have a pure heart? Since the heart of the natural man is such a sepulchre of rottenness, a radical change must take place in the heart to make it pure. And since man cannot change his own heart, since man cannot change his heart from being putrid to be pure, then that change can only be wrought by God. Only God can work this radical change in the heart of sinful man. And that radical change is wrought when the soul of man is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ in conversion. That moment that the new birth is experienced, the sinner receives a new heart. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. We're familiar with these words. And with regard to the change in the heart or the state of the heart, that change is immediate upon conversion. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If any man be in Christ, in our natural state, we're out of Christ. When we're saved, we're brought into Christ. When we're brought into Christ, we're a new creature. Do you know the word? Creature means creation. We're a new creation. There's the maker of the heart. There's the one who can make that sinful, putrid, vile, corrupt, totally depraved heart of man, can make it pure. Christ is the maker. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. The old things of the heart. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The Lord gives us a new heart. He gives us a new heart. The heart in Scripture is the seat of the affections. We'll tell our wives, we love them with all of our heart, because the heart is the seat of the affections. Before conversion, in our hearts we loved things that were unclean, sinful, corrupt. But when the Lord gave us a new heart, we fell in love with other things. You turn, please, to Ezekiel. To Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. The Lord is speaking. The Lord says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. There's the chains. There's the dramatic chains we're talking about. The change takes place when the Lord takes away the old, corrupt, stony heart. Gives us a new heart. And when He gives us a new heart, the Lord says, I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my commandments or judgments and do them. We didn't do that before we received a new heart from the Lord. They were the last things we would do. What? Walk in the commandments and the judgments of God? Why, we had our backs to God. As Isaiah spoke and said, I heard a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. The voice came from behind, indicating the sinner was walking away from the Lord. He had his back to God and his face toward hell. Then the Lord gave us a new heart. You notice the difference there in Ezekiel? The Lord takes away the old heart, diseased by sin and corruption, and a new heart He gives us, a pure heart. And we're led to obey His word. Taking away the old stony heart. You remember that? You remember how hard your heart was? In face of the gospel, when the word of God was preached to you, and the gospel was presented to you, and Christ was presented to you, and yet you would get up out of a meeting and go out. Your heart was hard. Hard as adamant stone. But then praise God for the day that the hammer of God's word broke the heart. And the Lord took away the hard heart and gave us a heart of flesh. Tender. Feeling. Loving. Caring. Holy. Pure. Revelation 21 verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That's what he did. He made all things new. He didn't mend the heart. He gave us a new heart. He didn't just change our lives. He gave us a new life to live. Because there's new life in Christ. It was a dramatic and radical change that only the Lord was able to carry out. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who have received a new heart, a pure heart. We read in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what the world may say about a Christian. That's a peculiar character there. But that's not the sense of the word. People may think we're peculiar, and that's all right. The word peculiar has to do with separation. The word actually means beyond ordinary. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what he did. He gave himself over to the sufferings of Calvary. He shed his blood that he might redeem unto himself a peculiar people, that he might purify us by his own blood. And the Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We ought to thank the Lord afresh tonight for taking away the old hard, sinful heart and giving us a new heart. Giving us a pure heart. Because, you know something? One day we'll see God. One day we'll see the Lord. So we have noted then the making of a pure heart. Secondly, the marks of a pure heart. We repeat the words again of Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And what are the marks of such a deceitful and desperately wicked heart? The Lord has told us. What is it that proceeds from? What are the marks of a wicked heart? You see them around you every day. You only have to go into the world and you don't have to go too far. And there you see the marks of a wicked heart, the wicked heart that's in the sinner and the ungodly. But the Lord told us what proceeds from such a wicked heart. We repeat the words again. Evil thoughts, murders, blasphemies, fornication, thefts, false witnesses. That's what comes. There's the marks. You see, someone who has not had their heart changed by the power of God and the blood of Christ, they reveal the marks in their lives, in their character, in their conversation, in their behavior. They manifest the marks of a sinful heart. You hear it in their language. You see it in their behavior and their attitude. And if these are the marks of a desperately wicked heart, of the polluted heart, what then are the marks of a pure heart? If the wicked heart or the polluted heart reveals the kind of heart the person has, we see the marks of a sinful heart, then we must be able to see the marks of a pure heart. What is a man's heart? What will proceed from that heart will be revealed in his life. Whatever's in his heart, you'll see it in his life. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what he is. Whatever show he may put on, he may know the jargon, he may know how to speak the language, he may know what to say, but what he is in his heart, that's what he really is. It's what he is in his heart. Not what he does so much or what he says. It's what is in his heart. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what he is. A man will live according to what is in his heart. So the one who has a pure heart, his thoughts will be pure. Thoughts will be pure. We know that from the words of Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So the pure heart will have pure thoughts. The one who has a pure heart, his talk will be pure. Not only his thoughts, but his talk, his words. Proverbs 15, verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. My, how true that is. Thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. You will never hear a man or woman with a pure heart tell dirty jokes. You will never hear a man with a pure heart tell unclean stories. You will never hear a man or woman with a pure heart say anything that is unbecoming of the gospel. Simple as that. If someone professes to know the Lord and they come out with unsavory language, that person does not have purity of heart, because he's telling you what's in his heart. Out of the heart proceedeth. And if you have an unclean heart, then out of that unclean heart will proceed that which is unclean. That's for sure. Because that's the word of the Lord. The word are the one with a pure heart, then his testimony will be pure. His loves, his language, his life will all testify and be a witness to whether or not that man's heart is pure or polluted still by sin. And the reward for the pure in heart, God's blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Only the pure in heart shall see God. That's what the Lord says. And then we look in the third place to the maintaining of a pure heart. It is important that the saint of God endeavors to keep himself pure. Maintaining a pure heart will mean continuing to live a holy life. And the Word of God exhorts and encourages the Christian to maintain pureness of heart. 1 John chapter 3. There we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him, that is the hope of seeing Christ, purifieth himself, even as he is pure, even as Christ is pure. He purifieth himself. In other words, John is saying, he keeps himself pure even as Christ is pure. That's what John expects the Christian to do. And the words of verse 3 reveal to what we are to do, reveal our duty. It ought to be our desire to keep our hearts pure, even as Christ is pure. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Being focused on the purity of Christ, we will be enabled by the Holy Spirit to keep ourselves pure and holy. And Paul has told us how we may maintain this purity of heart, saying in 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. That's what Paul is teaching Timothy, how to maintain purity of heart. Do not be a partaker of other men's sins. Partaker. The word partaker means to have in common. Don't behave like the ungodly. Don't be a partaker of their sins. The child of God ought to be different. Not just for the sake of being different. The child of God is to be different because he is a child of God. No longer a child of the devil. No longer a child of wrath. No longer heading down the broad road to a lost eternity, but on the straight and narrow that leads to heaven and home. We're not to have anything in common with the sinful ways of sinful man. What does that speak to us of? Speaks to us of separation. We're to be separated. It emphasizes the need for living a separated life. Separating ourselves from the sinful ways of the world. That's not a popular message today. It is not. The whole idea today is this case of easy believism. Nothing to do with conviction of sin. Nothing to do with the convicting work of the Spirit of God. Just make a decision. And you can call yourself a Christian. Oh, you don't have to live a separated life. Oh, no. Point is, if an individual has a genuine work of grace wrought in him or her, they will not want the sins of the world. Remember again Job? He feared God and eschewed evil. He didn't embrace evil. He turned his back on it. He ran away from it. And the person who's had a genuine work of grace wrought in their lives will run away from sin. And yet you see today professing believers, and there's no separation in their lives. You would hardly know the difference between them and the ungodly. They behave like the ungodly. They talk like the ungodly. They have an attitude like the ungodly. Yet Paul says, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Separation. When the apostle said, keep thyself pure, he used the word keep, which means to watch or to observe. To watch. We are to ever be watchful. It'll be a good test. If you're about to do something maybe you don't usually do, it would be good just to stop and say, what I'm going to do, will it bring glory to God? Could the Lord bless me in what I'm about to do? Can I know that I will have the blessing of a thrice holy God? And if the answer is no, then that's the end of the matter. We're to be ever watchful. We do not fall into the snare of the devil and yield to his temptations. So in maintaining the purity of heart, we must stay in the ways of the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Can't go wrong. If you obey the ways of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord are pure. That's how you maintain a pure heart. Obey the pure commandments of the Lord. Walk in His ways, in the paths of righteousness. We must also study the Word. Want to maintain purity of heart, then study the Word. Psalm 119, verse 140. Thy Word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. So you have the ways of the Lord are pure. You have the Word of the Lord is pure. You have the wisdom of the Lord is pure. James 3 and verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And we go to the Lord because we lack wisdom. We have a decision to make. And we just don't know the direction we should go. We just don't know exactly what to do. Well, the Lord knows. So we go to the Lord. We seek His wisdom. And we can rest assured His wisdom is pure. That'll keep us pure. His Word is pure. That'll keep us pure. His ways are pure. That'll keep us pure. We're not dabbling in things that are unclean, that will defile the man, as the Lord said. The Lord said then, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We go quickly here and we see the happiness of the child of God. The heart, the child of God, and now the happiness. The Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart. The word blessed, of course, we know means happy. Happy. And here is, first of all, a particular happiness. Here's a happiness that comes from purity of life and purity of heart. Now you tell that to an unbeliever. You tell that to a man or a woman of the world. That happiness comes from purity of heart and life. They'll not believe you. Have you ever been challenged? Have you ever been asked, as a Christian, why you are a Christian? What is it that gives you pleasure in life? And they go through a whole list of things. Do you drink? No. Do you go to clubs? No. Do you go to dances? No. Do you do drugs? No. Do you have a flutter on the lottery? No, I don't gamble. Do you smoke? No. And then the response is, well, what do you do? How can you enjoy life? What do you do? Well, I go to prayer meetings. That makes me happy. I go to the house of God. That makes me happy. I study the Bible. That makes me happy. I give out tracts. That makes me happy. I stand in the open air and preach the gospel and witness for Christ. That makes me happy. And they can't understand it. Do you know why they can't understand it? Because as far as they're concerned, the only way to happiness is the sinful way. Is the drink and the drugs and the dances and the gambling and all the rest of it. To them, that's the way to happiness. You've only to see the commercials for the drink. There everybody's laughing and smiling. Oh, they're having a happy time. It's the way it's portrayed. Why don't they show you the man staggering out of the pub and going home to his wife after spending all his money and he has nothing to give his wife or buy food for their children? That's the true picture. I hate strong drink with a passion, and what it does and what it has done and how it has destroyed lives and homes and families. But no, this is what they believe, and this is how the devil fools them. Let me ask you this. Who were the happiest people, apart from the Lord, who were the happiest people who ever lived in the face of this earth? Adam and Eve. They were created perfect. No sin, no iniquity. They lived on the very pinnacle of happiness. Why? Because their character was pure, their conduct was pure, their conversation was pure. They were happy, happy through and through. They enjoyed perfect communion and fellowship with the thrice holy God, their Creator. And then the serpent came in to the garden. And the serpent offered them a way whereby they could be happier still. You've only to eat the forbidden fruit and you'll be happier still. You will be as gods. Well, you've only to read Genesis 3 verses 16 and 17. And in verse 16 and verse 17, you have twice over the word sorrow. That's what sin brought. Sin did not bring them into a higher place of happiness. It brought them down and down and down into sorrow. And the fellowship and the communion was broken. And their eyes were opened. And they looked upon each other with sinful eyes. The happiest people, listen, the happiest people on the face of this earth today are the people who have a pure heart. Because they don't need sin to make them happy. They don't need sin to bring them any pleasure. Pleasure is in Christ. That's the particular happiness. It's happiness through purity of heart. Notice it's a present happiness. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. He didn't say, blessed will be, even though that's true. He didn't say, blessed will be the pure in heart. No, he says, blessed are. It's a present happiness. It's a happiness that we enjoy right here and now. If we have a pure heart, then we'll be happy. We have a happiness to look forward to in the future, but we have a happiness here now. And the happiness that we have now is simply a foretaste of glory divine. It's only a foretaste. It's only a taste of the great, as it were, meal of happiness we will enjoy in glory. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Solomon said in Proverbs 16, verse 22, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. We can say amen to that. That's true. We can say, Solomon, you got it right. Happy, or whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Oh, Satan will cover his tables and Vanity Fair with all the worldly trinkets that he can find. Listen, none of those things attract the pure in heart. Don't need those things. No, we don't need the drink. We don't need the smoking. We don't need the gambling. We don't need the clubs. Praise the Lord. We don't need those things. We have Christ. And when we have Christ, we have everything. Psalm 146, verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is he. It's a perpetual happiness. The ungodly enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Just for a season, short time. Our happiness will last forever. Praise the Lord. It'll be perpetual. It's never ending. And our happiness that we experience now, why, it's only the beginning. A greater happiness awaits us on the other side of Jordan's River. Children know this hymn. But it is a hymn that was sung by the children in Robert Murray McShane's church in St. Peter's, Dundee, in Scotland. During the times of revival, the children had their own prayer meetings. And at those children's prayer meetings, they would sing this hymn. There is a happy land, far, far away, where saints in glory stand bright, bright as day. Oh, how they sweetly sing, worthy is our Saviour King. Lord, let his praises ring, praise, praise for aye. Come to this happy land, come, come away. Why will ye doubting stand? Why still delay? Oh, we will happy be when from sin and sorrow free, Lord, we will live with thee. Lord, we will live with thee, blessed, blessed forever. Perpetual happiness. The last place, and quickly, we have the hope of the child of God. We know the blessings that await us, the happiness that awaits us in heaven. We have read in the course of this study of the Beatitudes, Revelation 21, verses 3 to 5. He shall wipe away all tears from her eyes. There'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more death. It's a happy place, isn't it? the hope of the child of God, we shall see God. That's our hope. And praise God, it's not a hope so. Sometimes you ask people, well, are you a Christian? Are you ready for heaven? Say, I hope so. That's not what this is. Oh, not at all. This is assurance. We shall see God. Yet how can this be? When we read such verses as John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. 1 Timothy 1, 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. We cannot see God because he's a spirit. We cannot see him who is invisible, because a sight of his glory would overwhelm us. So what did the Savior mean then? We shall see God. We shall, with bodily eyes, behold Jesus Christ. We shall see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. We cannot see him who is invisible, but glory to God, we'll see Jesus Christ. That's who we'll see. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see Christ. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever sit down and think about what it will be like when we see the Lord? Do you ever see those really blasphemous sketches and paintings supposed to be of the Lord? I look at them all and I say, boy, I hope the Lord doesn't look like that. Because he who is altogether lovely certainly doesn't look lovely in those paintings. No. Christ is the altogether lovely one. And we will see him. We shall see Christ, through whom the glory of God, the wisdom of God, the holiness of God, the mercy of God shall shine forth to our souls. Blessed are the pure in heart. Aren't you glad the Lord has given you a pure heart? Aren't you glad the Lord has given you a new heart? Because you shall see the Lord. You have there not only the prospect, but the person. As Paul said, at this moment we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Then face to face. Why, sure, we could take up another 3/4 of an hour thinking about and dealing with seeing Christ face to face. That's why we sang that tonight. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold him? Jesus Christ, who died for me. That's the prospect of those who are pure in heart. We shall see the King. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving and gracious God, we do thank thee for the prospect of seeing the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the promise. A promise, Lord, that thou will never renege on. A promise that will be fulfilled. We shall see God. We'll not get lost along the journey of life. We'll be there in heaven. Our place is reserved for us. And we shall see the Lord by and by. Even we think of our brother, Mr. Hamilton, last week, saw the Lord. For 82 years he could only see him by faith, but now he sees him by sight. Oh, what a dawning of an eternal day. Lord, write thy holy word upon our hearts tonight. May we rejoice in the truth of thy word. And dear Lord, I pray that we shall all be adorned with the jewel of a pure heart. Bless us, Lord, as we part one from another this night. Keep us safe, keep us near the cross throughout this week. Remember all who are sick. We commit them each one to thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.